Father in heaven, I thank you for bringing us together on your holy Sabbath day. And Lord, we want you to be present as markedly as you have been through the early of the service. Pour out your Spirit. Guard the doors and exits. Keep Satan out of here. For we've got work to do. And Lord, I pray that you use me in spite of me. I want to represent Jesus appropriately. So when we're done, everyone who came today will say, hey, we heard Jesus and we saw Jesus. So work that miracle like only you can do in Jesus' name. Amen. A phone call woke me early on Monday morning. It was one of the pastors informing me of what had happened the night before, which I didn't even know about. And I got out of bed, I turned on the TV set, and I tried to absorb as best I could what I was hearing. My mind immediately, by the way, went to 9/11. And I remember sitting in California, and we got a call from a church member, and church members, do that for your pastor. You will not believe what we missed. He called me up and said, Pastor, are you watching TV? I'm going, 7 o'clock in the morning? I don't think so. If I am, the church needs to get on their knees. He said, well, a plane just hit one of the towers. And I thought of that right away. And my first thought was, I got to get to the church school. I need to get to the church school. Wondering what all these kids were feeling, the emotions they were going through. And when I was listening, I thought, Lord, I got to do something. What do I do? So I called Pastor Need on the phone, said, are you ready to go to the hospital? He said, yes. He came over to the house. We got into my car. We drove over to Sunrise, and I, in great faith, looked at him and said, they probably won't let us in, but let's try. And we got there, and the total hospital was on complete lockdown. There were policemen, more than one, at every door. But they did say, you can go to the emergency room and tell them what you want. So we went to the emergency room, and we told them we wanted to see the chaplain. They took us in to the chaplain's office. And we had been calling, by the way, and no one's answering the phone. And just when we got there, the guide knocked on the door. The door opened, and here one of the chaplains was standing in the door on the phone. When he got off the phone, we told him who we were and said we'd like to know if we can do anything to help. And they immediately sent us down to the auditorium where many of the victims' family members were sitting and waiting and wondering. It was incredible. And the first people that we went to, a family, it was a man, his wife, his mother, his daughter. We walked up and we said to them, can we talk to you? They said, yes. And we said, why are you here? Well, we received a phone call. We're from Riverside, California. We received a phone call. And we were told our son was shot and his friend who went to the concert with him was killed. And we're here. And we said, well, how's he doing? And they said, we don't know. What time did you get here? 2 o'clock in the morning. 10 o'clock now. You don't know how he is? No. As a matter of fact, we don't even know if he's in this hospital or not. And the minute she said that, my heart just sank out of sympathy and care and concern for this family who haven't heard anything since a phone call woke them up in the wee hours of the morning telling them their son was shot way in Las Vegas. And so, folks, I want you to know there are many hurting people in this city. Not just the victims and their families only. And so today, since the time is right, I want to answer three simple questions. The first one is, why is this happening? The second one is, what should we do? And the third one is, are you ready? And so in order to answer the first question, I invite you to take your Bibles and turn to Luke, the 21st chapter. Children, I want you to open your Bibles. This is Jesus speaking. And he's talking about the very thing of the last days. So open your Bibles with us, children, along with the adults. And by the way, I think right away you all know from being Bible students that Luke 21 is the sister of Matthew 24. That very important chapter about the last days. So turn to Luke 21. We're going to start reading at verse 26. Here's what Jesus said. Now remember the setting. The disciples went with Jesus up to the Mount of Olives, and Jesus had said something that shook them up big time. And they came and said, we want to know when this is going to be and what's the signs of your coming and what will it be like. And that's where we get chapter 24, and we also get Luke. Now, Luke is interesting because Luke wasn't on the mountain like Matthew was when Jesus said this. Luke got all this information from the other disciples, and here's how he put it. He said in verse 25, and there will be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars and on earth distress of nations with perplexity and the seas and the waves roaring, men's heart failing them for fear and the expectation of those things which are coming on the earth. For the power of heavens will be shaken. And then you will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with power and great glory. Now when you see these things begin to happen, look up and lift up your heads because your redemption draws nigh. Please notice that first Jesus said there'll be signs in the sun's, moon, and star. Now, previous to this in Luke 21, he had talked about the persecution during the Dark Ages. So from 25 on, we're now talking about the last days, our day and age. And folks, in case your memory is a little rusty, you need to be reminded that the sun, moon, and stars have already taken place. In fact, the stars, the last one mentioned, fell in 1833. While William Miller was preaching the second coming of Jesus Christ. And so the next thing he said, after the sun, moon, and stars, 26, men's heart failing them for fear and the expectation of those things which are coming on the earth. Now let's take a Greek look at this in verse 26. First of all, men's hearts failing. Actually, I take that back. Go to the verse 25. It says, the distress of nations. On earth, distress of nations. And you will see here that the Greek word is suneiko. Suneke. Suneke, it means restraint. And that means anxiety, anguish, and distress. Nations will be in anxiety and anguish and distress. Why? Because things like this are going to happen in the last days. Listen, we're getting ink all over the place because it's the largest killing that ever took place in America, but not the only one. And also, Jesus told them, and with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, perplexity is the word. Apori. Apori means a state of quandary, like wondering. But that word is an adjective coming from the Greek verb aporeo. And aporeo means to have no way out. It means to be at a loss mentally. It means to be in doubt, stand in doubt, be perplexed. Jesus is warning us that these things are going to happen, and that's why He put it the way He put it, and we need to be privy to that. In fact, I'll get back to that in a second. Then verse 26, men's hearts failing them for fear and the expectation of those things which are coming on the earth. Fear. You know, you probably recognize the Greek word phobos. Phobia. Phobos means to be put in fear, alarm, or fright. Be afraid exceedingly. Terror. You know, I'm sure if you're... You know, I tried not to do it, folks, but I did. I went online and watched some of the footage. And some of the footage even said before it came on, saying that some of the scenes here are not appropriate for all ages. And I just saw those people in terror, trying to get out of there. But what's funny is that we interact with some of these people now who weren't even there. They're in the same state of shock and fear. And so Jesus was warning us. Also in verse 26, please notice expectation of those things. It says in my Bible, expectation, prosdekia, apprehensive of evil. Can you imagine the next time? No, I don't advocate this. The next time you go to a concert, first of all, I'm not sure Christians should be there, to be honest with you. I think we'll see that in a second. If you do, or if they do, apprehension of evil by implication, infliction, anticipated expectation. That's what that word means. Like looking over your shoulder. Jesus warned us that it would be like this. Look what Timothy said. Timothy said in 1 Timothy 4, 1, he said, now the Spirit expressly says, now this is interesting. You know, the Spirit says, the Lord says, all over the Bible. In this spot, Paul said, the Spirit expressly says, that in the last days, latter days, the end time, some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and the doctrines of demons. You know what that reminds me of? Revelation 16, and out of the mouth of the dragon, out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet came three fogged like evil spirits working miracles. to deceive the people on the earth. If you wonder, now wait, this wasn't a religious gathering, this was a secular gathering. Well, Satan wants to cause confusion and terror. And I wonder, out of the 30, if it was 22,000 people were there, I wonder how many of them are blaming God. And maybe their insurance company told them that. And this is ludicrous. And then in 2 Timothy, remember, these are some of the last books. These two books are the last two books that Paul penned. But know this, that in the last days, now he's talking about everybody. In the last days, perilous times will come. How many of you are like me, that every time you get on an airplane, you wonder if there's a terrorist on the airplane? Folks, I pray. I'm not kidding you. In fact, the day before I asked Jenny, she said, "Why did you say yes?" Because I felt the Lord impress me. But look at you now. I know. I wish I hadn't said yes. I got to get on the airplane. So I'm serious. Ask her. And I get on that airplane. I said, "Lord, please." And I tell him one thing. If we're going to die, then make me act like a Christian in death, not like Peter Neary. But I'm afraid. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemous, disobedient to parents, children, proud, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having the form of godliness but denying the power of thereof. And here's my question to you. It says, and from such people turn away. Turn away. Now that's a description of the last days, people on earth. Why are these things happening? Because we were told they would happen. And I'll show you why. They will happen because Christ is set at naught in the contempt placed upon His words and people. As the teachers of spiritualism are accepted by the churches, the restraint imposed upon the carnal heart is removed, and the profession of religion will become a cloak to conceal the basest iniquities. A belief in spiritual manifestations open the doors to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. And thus the influence of the evil angels will be felt in the church. Now, the next one will deal with the secular. But let's look at the religious folks. I want to say something here. We got Halloween coming up. October 31st is called All Saints Day. And where are most of all saints? They're dead. It's about the dead. And that when you participate in these kind of activities and take your children, it says that you are opening the door to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. And don't you think for a minute Satan isn't using that. That's why at this church we have a program on the 31st right here for the children. Not to dress up and not to eat a lot of sugar, but to come together and not have to be subjected to the craziness. Folks, when I was a kid, we innocently went door to door and there might have been a little bit of decorations. Now everybody's yard looks like a graveyard. By the way, what is a ghost, by the way? What is a ghost? There isn't such a thing, but if there was, the ghost would be an evil angel. I remember we were told the ghosts and goblins. What's a goblin? Not a turkey. Evil angels. And people glorify death and gore and blood. And we are glorifying spiritualism. I've got to warn my people, even if I become more unpopular than I already am. Because I care for your soul as much as I care for mine and our children. Folks, they may get mad when you say no. But I'll tell you something. You're protecting their heart and mind at a young, impressionable age. And believe me, they are getting more stuff than you think they are because of their intelligence. You know, you've heard it said. How many of you want to join me in my Russian class? And by the way, I'm not taking a Russian class. Why? I can't figure it out. I'm too old. But little kids, you know what they do? They teach them Russian. They teach them all kinds of languages. Children just scoff it down. Little kids. We got to protect those minds, folks. I got off, I admit, but I couldn't help it in preparing for this. Why is this happening? Here's why it's happening. As defenders of truth refuse to honor the Sunday Sabbath, that's us, some of them will be thrust into prison, some will be exiled, some will be treated as slaves. To human wisdom, all of this, I love this statement, seems impossible. Oh, that can't happen in the United States. This is the land of the free and the home of the brave. But as the restraining spirit of God shall be withdrawn from men, and they shall be under control of Satan, who hates the divine precepts, there will be strange developments. The heart can be very cruel when God's fear and love are removed. There's the best explanation of why this Stephen guy or whatever his name is did what he did. Because we know that the Spirit of God is already being withdrawn from those that have absolutely shut the door to God's grace, and we're heading for the time in which all the wicked will have made that decision. That's when probation closes. So why is this happening? It's happening because we're in the time of the end, folks. We're in the time of the end. These are warnings from God that didn't cause it, but is trying to tell us there's something else to be looking at and thinking about. Because the second question is, what should we do? Take your Bibles and go to Matthew 25. Matthew 25. Children, Matthew 25. Look what Jesus said to his believers. Matthew 25, 34. I know I'm going to skip some. Just go to verse 34. When you get home, read the context to your children. Here's what Jesus said. Then the king will say to those on the right hand, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. And then the righteous will answer him and say, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you and thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison or come to you?" And the king will answer and say to them, "Assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did this to one of the least of my children, you did it to me." What should we be doing? Here's a picture in front of the Red Cross. I'm sure all of you have seen this picture, right? That line on that side goes way this way into a cul-de-sac. This line comes this way and then goes to the front door. Now, those are people who stood in line for hour after hour in order to give blood. Now, the newspaper wasn't there taking down their individual name and saying, "What church do you belong to?" But those people were doing what Jesus would do if he was here. They got involved. Now, here's what really blew my mind as I watched this. And I watched this on the news. That is, people were driving up and get out of their cars. And without being asked, they had all kinds of goodies. And some of these people took that stuff in wagons or whatever, and they walked up and down those lines handing it out to the people they never met in their life. I even saw a guy walking around with a garbage bag. He was collecting the garbage. Pastor Nita and I were in that room in the hospital, and while we were there, stuff kept coming in from people who bought it to bring to the hospital to comfort those who were afflicted. I especially remember two gentlemen with two large bags of boxes of Krispy Kreme donuts. Pastor Neat and I didn't eat one, but we thought about it. And I thought, "Neat, look at this." Nobody called him up and said, "Do this." These people, just out of the goodness of their heart, they came and they did this. Look at this church. Showed up, set up tables, put food on there, and fed the people. Now, I'm ashamed to say this, but I asked myself, what did my church members do? Did they get on the phone right away and say, "Hey, Dorothy, what should we do? Should we do something?" Well, I want you to know the Paradise Seventh-day Adventist Church bought 12 large trays of Capriotti sandwiches, and we brought it to the police station. And I'm telling you, they were thankful. They were like, "Wow." And when I walked in, Pastor Neat and I walked in, and there were drinks, water, maybe some chips, but there weren't no sandwiches. Folks, we've got to do something. We need to get involved in Seventh-day Adventists. We Seventh-day Adventists need to get involved voluntarily, getting together in groups. You could even call me, "What can I do?" I might even at first said, "I have no idea." We came back from the hospital, I had plenty of ideas. Now let me tell you a trap that we have. Seventh-day Adventists are intellectual and brainy. But when it comes to pitching in or doing something, it's not we don't want to. I don't think we think about it because we're more concerned with truth. And by the way, you know I'm concerned with truth. You know that. But I want to mix in the service. Take a look at this. What should we do? All around us are heard the wails of the world's sorrows. On every hand are the needy and distressed. It is ours to aid in relieving and softening life's hardships and misery. The want of the soul, only the love of Christ can satisfy. If Christ is abiding in us, our hearts will be full of divine sympathy. And there are many from whom hope has departed. Bring back the sunshine to them. Many have lost their courage. Speak to them words of cheer. Pray with them. There are those who need the bread of life. Read to them from the Word of God. Upon many is the soul sickness which no earthly balm can reach nor physician heal. Pray for these souls. Bring them to Jesus. Tell them that there is a balm in Gilead and a physician there. We need to get our heads together and figure out what we're going to do for the next one. It's coming. By the way, what's most likely in this town to come is an earthquake. And we got to start thinking like some of these other Christians that go to church on the wrong day, but they know just what to do when a crisis happens. We need to share our brains with them side by side as we learn from them how to serve. And by the way, some of you don't need that. You know, we feed the homeless. Joel leads out in the homeless. That's very important. You got Bill Bellows leading out in the Sunshine Singers going to the nursing homes. By the way, no photographers are there taking pictures and writing up articles and talking to Bill about it. But it's where Jesus would be if he was here. You know, we got pathfinders and adventurers to protect our children from a world out there and the internet, which absorbs them when they're at home with nothing to do. And so God is waiting for His people to bring sunshine, courage, cheer, and pray with them. By the way, did I forget to tell you that after I talked to this family, Pastor Neat and I, Pastor Neat went off in his own corner. I mean, direction. I went off in my. We prayed with every single person. We said, "Can we pray with you?" And you know what they said? Yes. Yes. Because they were destroyed. And we tried to, in our prayer, bring Jesus to them. So question number two, what should we do? Get involved. And by the way, I put that or do something. I put that there because when I was ministerial director of the Indiana Conference, I adopted that. I realized something in ministry. You may not have all the resources, but you can do something. Just do something. For that's what God expects. Number three, and finally, are you ready for this? Luke 21:28. Luke 21:28. The last verse of Luke 21. Are you ready for this? Remember what he said? He said, how come I can't find 20? Oh, I'm in Matthew. No wonder this didn't work. Is Luke in the New Testament? All right. Listen to this. Maybe you never thought of it this way before. Here it is. Number one. Now, when these things begin to happen. What things? What things? The shooting. The hurricanes. The tornadoes. The earthquake. And you know what? These things are so horrific that we're ignoring the fires in the Northwest that have consumed acre after acre after acre because they're just eating up everything. We're not even talking about that. When you see these things come to pass, begin to happen, I put those two together. Are we there? Yeah, we're there. They're happening. Okay, what are we supposed to do? Look up, lift up your head. Now, why do we look up? We look up because that's where Jesus is. And by faith, we Adventists know that He's in the most holy place of the heavenly sanctuary. By the way, the next step He takes is out of there, coming back to get His people. And He's there, and we can come to Him and say, Lord, what do we do? How can we meet this crisis? But we're only going to do that if we know Jesus. When all these things begin to happen, look up because your redemption draws nigh. I want you to look up what Jeremiah told us in Jeremiah 9:23-24. Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom. Let not the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him who glories, glory in this. What? What is this? That he understands and knows me. Do we know Jesus? I'm serious. When's the last time you read The Desire of Ages? You know, I know why she wrote that book now. She wrote that book so that we could see that in all situations, Jesus was there, and no matter who the wretch was, He answered them. Even if they turned right around and went back to their old ways. If you're going to glory, we're going to glory in that you know Jesus, that I am the Lord exercising loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these I delight, says the Lord. In the pastoral prayer, Jesus prayed, the intercessory prayer He prayed before the Garden of Gethsemane. In the third verse, He said this. This is eternal life. Ooh, okay, Lord. I want to know what eternal life is. The rich young ruler ran up. Lord, what must I do to be saved? And Jesus is now saying, this is eternal life. Okay, what is eternal life, Lord? Tell me. That they may know you, Father in heaven, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. We must know Jesus. And then just one more to overkill. 2 Peter 1:2-3-8. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus. How is grace, which is power, and peace multiplied to you? By what? The knowledge of Jesus. Of God and of Jesus our Lord, forgive me, as this His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue. Verse 8, for if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So folks, the third question, are we ready? Great controversy, one sentence. Satan well knows that all whom he can lead to neglect prayer and the searching of Scripture will be overcome by Satan's attacks. Pastor Nita and I agreed that we weren't ready for this crisis. Sure, we went to the hospital and we lent a hand, but we didn't know anybody to call. Not only that, I found out that if I had learned crisis counseling, I could be right now at UMC crisis counseling the first responders who saw. They are trained for accidents, not a battlefield. And when they arrived at a battlefield. And so I planned to take crisis counseling so that the next thing that happens, I can say, here's my credentials. And I'll get to know the people involved, so they'll say, let's call Peter Neary. And folks, now you know what you can do. You can start bringing water. You can start bringing. I saw one lady walking there with bananas, handing out bananas. Calling on the phone, hey, let's get Daisy and Jenny and Irene and let's make some food and bring it down, put it on the table, help them walk through. Let's let them see our face, whether they know we're Adventists or not. And then if a newspaper man comes up and asks them, we'll tell them. We're not going to wear this gigantic sign advertising it. Because we're doing this for Jesus. And so, folks, I hope this renders your grief and your maybe even fear and anxiety a little bit. For God knew this was going to happen. And now we know that this isn't the end of it. It's going to get worse. When the Spirit is being withdrawn, folks, who's in charge? Satan. And we have to be ready for that. So, if you want to be ready for the second coming, then let's start serving people. Father, I want to thank you for the challenge of the hour for each person who's come. It's providential, not by coincidence. But Lord, make us a church that really reaches out. And let's fumble. I mean, even by trial and error, we may make a mistake, but we'll go back again and try it better and different. Please give us the Spirit and counsel and wisdom. Let us draw together. Even though we may have differences, help us to overcome those. That's what the upper room did, Lord. And that's why the outpouring of the Spirit happened. And that's what we desire here at Paradise. And Lord, our children need to be protected, but also they're full of energy. And they can help us side by side and learn how to minister to people who are hurting. And we want to be trained by you so we're ready for the next event. So do that for us. Bless each person. In Jesus' name, amen.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. International copyright, all rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.AmericanChristianMinistry.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There's no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with the speakers and volunteer workers to encourage them. Your prayers and contingent financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He is coming soon.